Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Okay, keeping in step with the Spirit. That's what we've been talking about these past couple weeks, and Brenton was talking about how there's this conflict, right? There's the Spirit's work in our hearts, and then there's the flesh's work in our hearts, and there's like this tug of war, and it's hard, right? And he talked about how we can't stay on the straight and narrow by our own abilities, but through surrender, crucifying the flesh, living in community, and living by the Spirit, keeping in step with Him. And some of those points I'm going to be echoing this morning. But the focus that I wanted to focus on is, where is the Spirit actually leading us, right? We're keeping in step with Him. That means we're following Him. But where is He going? So that's kind of the idea that I want to explore, and kind of on a day-to-day basis, kind of on the small picture. But in the grand scheme of things, where is the Spirit leading me? Because, I don't know, like, it's good to focus on the day-to-day, right? But if you're going on a journey somewhere, you kind of want to know where you're heading. And, you know, you want to make sure you're ready for the day-to-day, but you want to know where you're heading. So that's kind of the point of this morning's sermon. And so Galatians 5:25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And again, I don't know if you've seen that video from Pastor Claude, and then Dave and Chuck eating lettuce every time he says lettuce. That is just living in my head. And every time I see lettuce, keep in step with the Spirit, I just think about food. Well, hopefully you don't think about food this morning. So it's, okay, it's not about our righteousness, right? When we look at the context surrounding this passage, we can't do it on ourselves, right? We see that the Spirit is leading us into righteousness. If you read any of the surrounding verses, the Spirit is leading us into righteousness. The Spirit is leading us into freedom. But this is not a thing that we can do in and of ourselves, right? None of us actually live up to our own standard of righteousness or our own standard of goodness, right? If we look at the golden rule, treat your neighbor as yourself, right? Treat others as you would like to be treated. I don't live up to that very well. I like others to treat me how I would like to be treated, but I'm kind of bad at treating others how I would like to be treated, right? When we fail that, we blame it on external circumstances, like, oh, I was impatient with my wife this morning because I was hungry and I'm tired, right? That's why I wasn't righteous. That's why I was impatient. But suddenly, when I do something right and I am patient, and I'm like, wow, I'm the best person ever. Look at me. Look how righteous I am, right? We make excuses for when we fall short, but we celebrate ourselves when we do it the right way. And what we see Paul is showing the Galatians is that righteousness is not a work of ourselves. It's completely a work of the Spirit. It's got to be a work of the Spirit, right? The Galatians, they were being led to believe that they could be made right with God, that they could become God's people, that they could be set apart through the process of circumcision. First of all, ouch. That's, like, you really have to believe that to go through with that, because that's not something you do willy-nilly. So they were really convinced that they need to do this in order to be made right with God. And Paul is saying, whoa, 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 put the scissors down. You don't need to do that. Listen, you don't, our own works can't save us. It's only Christ's work and the Spirit making us new. That is what makes us righteous. In Galatians 5:4-6, Paul says, you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. Whoa. Right? Those who are trying to live up to the law and the standard of the law are actually alienating themselves from Christ. They're alienating themselves from God. Right? You have fallen away from grace. Oh, that's not good. For through the Spirit, we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And that's the big picture, right? That's what the Spirit is intending us to do, right? On a day-to-day basis, this is where the Spirit is leading us to for our faith to be expressed through love. And if our faith isn't being expressed through love, that isn't much of a faith. It's not much of a faith. And that's where Paul is encouraging the Galatian church is that, listen, your faith is not based on your circumcision or uncircumcision. It's based on the Spirit transforming you and you living it out. Your faith being expressed through love. That's really the key, right? It's not a work that we can accomplish by ourselves. It's the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, right? In Galatians 5:24. 22 to 24, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Right? So righteousness is not merely something about what we can produce, but it's about who we're becoming. God is way more interested in who I am becoming than some of the things I do outwardly. Because I could do those with the wrong heart, right? And he intends to change our hearts. And so Paul, when he's writing to the Galatians earlier on in verses 4:19, he says, my dear children, for who I am again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. That is the big picture, right? When we're asking, okay, where is the Spirit leading us? Yes, for our faith to be expressed through love day by day, but because Christ is being formed in us. That is the goal. That is the end of the road. That is where the Spirit of God wants to bring every single one of us who have said yes to Christ. He wants to make us into Christ. To be formed in, for Christ to be formed in us. That's the goal, right? That's what Paul was being concerned about because they were thinking that they could be conformed to the image of Christ through circumcision. Right? No, it's got to be a transformation. It's not just a one-time thing, right? If you don't display the fruits of the Spirit, your religious duty doesn't matter. You can be doing all the right things with the wrong attitude and the wrong heart. It doesn't matter, right? He didn't want them to mistake these religious rituals for a Christ-shaped identity. For a Christ-shaped identity, right? What we do on the outside, right, is a result of what's happening on the inside. And he wants to transform us so we can live it out. Because sometimes we can put on a show. We can put on a pretty good show. But he intends to transform us from the inside, right? And so the heart that Paul had is that we wouldn't simply do something for God, but that we would become like God's Son. That we would become more and more like Jesus. And I hope that this is one of the big things that you take away from this morning is that the Holy Spirit wants to form you into Jesus. That's what he wants to do in your life. That's where the Spirit is ultimately leading us. That's the end goal. And even if we look back at the beginning of creation, right, in Genesis 1:26, he says, let us create man in our own image, in our likeness, right? This is the plan that God always intended, is that we, these lowly earthly creatures that look like the tailless monkeys, would become like him. Unbelievable. He desires us to be like him from the get-go. But we, like Adam and Eve, right, we questioned, did God really say that? Oh, we can be like God without him. We just eat of the fruit and we try to do it on our own endeavors, but we just end up lowering ourselves and making us look more creaturely than anything else. But the Spirit wants to make us like Jesus, make us more and more like God. Unbelievable. And I love 2 Corinthians 3:16 to 18, where Paul is just blasting the church was the best thing ever. He says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And I love this imagery, right? It's alluding to Moses who had the veil on his head, right, when he went up to be with God on the mount. But I also can't help but think about the veil that was torn in the temple, right? There's this, the distance between God and man has been removed. And so he continues on saying, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And so Paul is showing the Corinthian church that under this new covenant, we don't have to see God's acceptance through the law. We have unveiled faces where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is not condemnation, right? The law shows us where we fall short, but it cannot save us. But the Spirit of God, what Christ has done, leads us into boldness. And Paul even talks about how Moses wasn't bold because he had to hide the glory of the Lord. There was a transformation beginning to take place, but not a full transformation. The community of God were still falling short, but we have unveiled faces. We can behold the glory of the Lord and let it shine wherever we go. That's what God wants to do. He wants to shape us and form us so we can shine and bring him wherever we are, right? That's what he wants us to do. It's our faith being expressed through love. People see the glory of God. Right, so the Spirit frees us from condemnation of sin, but not from obedience. Right, it still requires obedience to say, Lord, I want to be with you. Lord, I want to walk with you. But his freedom leads us into obedience. And in Psalms 119, it talks about how the law gives us greater understanding. Right, when we understand the law, we realize that we need more of him. That we can't do it on our own, right? The Spirit doesn't set us free so that we can simply do what is right, but he sets us free so that we can be transformed into the likeness of Christ and to become what is right and what is good like Jesus. And this is the beauty of the new covenant that we're in right now, right? That the Spirit brings all believers into the presence of God so we can all be transformed in the presence of God. But that means we need to be people of his presence, right? The veil has been removed. We can go and be with him. There's nothing stopping us other than ourselves and distraction. And that's why I think this fast has been so beautiful, because we take a pause on some of those things. But that's got to be our lives, right? Moses went in alone and everybody stayed back, but all of us can freely go and be transformed by the glory of God. And so when Paul is saying the Lord is the Spirit, right, he's saying the same God who encountered Moses is living in us. We have access to him. What a gift. What a beautiful gift. What more do we need, right? What more do we need? And through Christ and the work of the Spirit, we can always be unveiled. It's amazing, right? As glory increases, transformation happens within. As we draw nearer to God, and if there's one thing, again, that you take away from this, we got to draw near to God. It's a continuation, it's a process, so we got to go nearer and nearer and nearer to God so that we can be more and more and more transformed. It's so easy to do it during the fast, but outside of it, man, it's sometimes like pulling teeth, right? But it requires intentionality. We've got to be intentional with keeping in step with the Spirit. It doesn't happen on its own. We've got to make room for God. We've got to make space for God to speak to us. We've got to be people of his word. We've got to be people of worship and prayer so that we can clothe ourselves with his righteousness. We've got to keep in step with the Spirit. spending more time with Jesus and being more and more like him. Because it's not an instantaneous process for everybody who's given their lives to Christ. It's not, okay, now everything's good. Now I just live perfectly. No, it's a process. There's so many times where I'm like, am I even a Christian with the thoughts that are in my head? Like, it's a slow, painful process. And sometimes it's a discouraging process, if I can be honest. But that's why we need to continually come before God, not just during the fast, but outside of the fast, to continually come before him. Because Paul, he's saying to the Galatians, there's no use getting circumcised. Circumcision will be a one-time mark on your body and a painful one, but it cannot change your heart. Cannot change what's in here and what's in here. It's a physical act, but it's not a transformational act, right? It's useless. If we want to truly be righteous, it's not a one-time work. We've got to keep in step with the Spirit. We've got to follow his leading. We've got to remember the big picture that he wants Christ to be formed in us. That he wants us to empower us so that our faith could be expressed in love in every aspect of our lives, in every relationship of our lives. Because the Spirit's not going to stop until we look like Jesus. That's his goal. That's his goal in every one of our lives, is that we live it out and that we are transformed into Jesus. That he's not going to stop. And I take comfort in that, because I'm like, oh, it's not riding just on myself. It's not riding just on us, but we've got to make room for him to renew. We've got to make room for him to lead us, not into condemnation, but to lead us into freedom. And this is a process that discourages me. And even during the fast, I feel like God was just highlighting just how selfish and self-centered I am. And it's like, oh, God, what's the point of trying to do this if I'm just going to fall right back to where I was? Anybody been in that hole, in that line of thinking before? You're like, Lord, what's the point of even trying to follow you if I'm just going to end up right where I was in the first place? And it can be discouraging. But listen, he's not calling. When we get discouraged, if we go away from him, we'll only get deeper and deeper and further away. But God knows that we fall short. That's why he sent his Spirit. That's why he sent the Son, because he knows that we can't do it without him. Our struggles and our duplicities shouldn't bring us away from him, but bring us closer to him, because we need him. Jesus wasn't surrounded by the Pharisees when he was doing his ministry on earth. He was surrounded by the lowly and those who realized that they couldn't do it on their own and they needed him. He was surrounded by tax collectors, by prostitutes, by those who were sick, people who knew that they needed something outside of themselves. They saw Jesus and they're like, if anybody could do a change in me, it's this guy. And so I'm gonna follow him. And that's the same attitude we need to have. If anybody can save us, it's Jesus. It's him. But sometimes in this process of being more and more like Jesus, we like to negotiate with God. Or it's like, yeah, I don't like this part of myself. You can change that. But this part of myself, oh, yeah, well, I kind of like that part. I want to hold on to that. It's mine. It's like, you're going to be like Gollum. It's going to be like, it's my precious. Like, no, my precious. But we try to negotiate with God. But I love this picture that C.S. Lewis gives in Mere Christianity. And listen, if you haven't read Mere Christianity, do yourself a service and read it. Read some of C.S. Lewis's works, especially if you're struggling with doubts and stuff like that. I know for myself, reading through his stuff has really just confirmed some things and really just encouraged me. So shout out C.S. Lewis, R.I.P. But he said this: imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps you can understand what he is doing. He is getting the drains right and stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. You knew that those jobs needed doing, and so you're not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably and does not seem to make any sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he is building quite a different house from the one you thought of. Throwing out a new wing here, putting on an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought that you were being made into a decent little cottage, but he is intending to build a palace. He intends to come and live in it himself. And that's, I think, really, right, what we need to hear is that we can't just choose where we keep in step with the Spirit. We can't negotiate where we keep in step with the Spirit. We can't negotiate parts of our lives we give to Christ and parts of our lives we don't. He wants to change every part of us until we are made new. But sometimes we're like, oh, I'm okay if you clean my eaves troughs or there's mouse poop in there, or like, I don't know what's in there. Clean that out. That's gross. That's yucky. I don't want that. But why are you removing the foundation? It's perfectly fine. Oh, stop breaking down that wall, Jesus. What are you up to? No, he wants to make it into a palace. We get content with a cozy little cottage with a nice little fireplace, but he is making a place where he intends to dwell himself with us. It's amazing, but that process, that renovation, can be really painful and really uncomfortable, and it can expose some things, right? You see some mold that's under some of the things, and he's like, that's got to go. And some walls, you're like, Jesus, there's not even mold there. Why are you taking that out? Like, he wants to form us into himself. That's the goal. That's the end goal. The Spirit intends to change every part of us until we are like Jesus, even the things that we don't want to give up, right? He doesn't want us to change the things we already hate or that we don't like or that we're ashamed of. No, he wants to change the things that we justify. Like, Lord, it's okay if I do this because I'm doing this. No, he wants to change all of it. Right? We start negotiating with God. Oh, I want to pick this. I want to pick that. That's modern day circumcision. I'm going to do this act, and now I'm good. I stop there. But that's not what God wants. He wants everything. He wants everything. It's like, yeah, God, I don't want porn in my life. Let's cut that out of here. Oh, but now I've actually got to be open and confess with people and let people into my brokenness and see that I'm not a perfect human being. I don't like that. Can I just try harder? Or maybe I'll stop sleeping with my boyfriend, but gossiping? You should see my coworkers, how they act. I'm just venting, you know. I can hold on to that. For myself, I remember when I was in Bible college, I remember thinking, oh, I'm not like those shallow Christians because I understand good biblical hermeneutics and solid theology. I understand the penal substitutionary atonement and Christus Victor, and I'm not like those other people. They don't know anything. And I thought that knowing more about Christ equaled being conformed to him. Right? Or maybe we believe, oh, I'm righteous because God uses me. I'm needed, right? They need me on Sunday morning, you know. I'm producing fruits for God, but maybe not producing fruits of God. Or I'll serve at church, or I'll serve at work, and I'm willing to volunteer my time, but at home, I'm a different person than when I'm out than when I'm at home. Christ intends to change every part of our lives, the hidden things, the secret things that no one else knows about but us. That is what he wants to change. That is what he wants to renew. He wants to change us. Some of those things can be good, but we use them as identity markers like circumcision and end up just like the Galatians. Anything that replaces faith expressed itself through love is suspect, because that's the fruit of transformation. And the Spirit wants to transform his church, right? He wants the body to be connected to the head. He wants the body to look like and behave like what the head wants. He wants to do it together so that we could become his people, be transformed from the inside out. And maybe, you know, the Daniel fast is coming to an end, and now you've done your religious duty for the year, And now you go back to social media, you go back to keeping relying on caffeine, you go back to all of these different things, and we don't make room for God anymore. And now we've got our little cottage for the year, and now we can chill there. But God is building a palace. He's not ending there. Let's make room for him, because what he has to make is infinitely better than what we can build up ourselves. Infinitely better. And what a beautiful invitation that he gives us to be like him, to be with him. It's because he loves us. He didn't have to do that. Sometimes we go through the process, we're like, well, it's not worth it. Oh man, we don't understand what he's forming us into in the glory that it is, the beauty that it is, the honor that it is. Galatians 5, 24 to 26, those who belong to Christ have nailed their passions and desires and their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited, provoke one another, or be jealous to one another. He wants to make us new in every part of our lives. The way I treat my wife, the way that I look at my finances, how I act with my kids, how I interact with coworkers or my workers, he wants to change every part of those things. The Spirit's not done until we look like Jesus. He's doing it because he wants to dwell with you. God wants to dwell with you. Unveiled faces. To be transformed, caught up in his glory. He wants to meet with you. He's knocking at the door to share a meal with us. Will we open? Will we let him? Not just on Sundays, but from Monday all the way to Sunday. It requires humility, it requires dependence. As we draw near to him, he draws near to us. Where? Do we need transformation, right? Where are we resisting? Where are we negotiating or settling or justifying? Where are we relying on religious duty instead of desperation and love of God? Where do we need to keep in step with the Spirit? But please don't hear this as condemnation. God is not here to condemn us. He's here to transform us. He wants to take what's broken, what's half built, and make it beautiful. Into his likeness. Amen? I invite you guys to stand. Lord, thank you that you don't give up on us. Thank you that even though we fall short and we try to negotiate with you, and we pick and choose where we want to follow and keep in step with the Spirit, thank you, Lord, that you are bigger than us. Thank you, Lord, that you are stronger than us. Thank you, Lord, that your love is enough, that it is sufficient to take our selfish hearts and to make them something beautiful. And Lord, we invite you to do your work in our lives. Lord, we surrender our sins and the things that we're trying to justify, and we invite you to change those things. We invite you to not just build us a little cozy cottage where we feel good about ourselves, but that you would make us into a palace where your Spirit dwells, where our spirits are calling out, Abba, Father, that you want to dwell with us and be with us. Thank you, God. Thank you that you want to be with us. Thank you that you don't keep us the same, that you know better, and that you know that your ways are going to lead us to flourishing and life and to hope. And so, Lord, we exchange our rags and we ask for your clothing. Clothe us with your righteousness, God. Use us for your glory. Help us to be a church that doesn't just have a reputation of being alive, but really on the inside we're dead, but that we would be alive on the inside and be people of hope whose faith is being expressed through the beautiful love of Jesus. Empower us, Holy Spirit. We need you, God. Come and fill us this morning as we worship. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.